الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. وقال تعالى: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah تبارك وتعالى, in His great wisdom, in His great mercy, in His great kindness, has blessed us with this very, very great and auspicious month of Ramadan. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, used to address the ulama and say that we have allowed 11 months of the year to go by like that. Now this month, at least, make it for the real purpose of life. And the real purpose of life is not also ilm. Ilm is a means. Ilm is not the actual goal. Ilm is only the means. The real thing is to be connected with Allah, to prepare for akhirat. That is why ilm also, that how can we get connected with Allah? How can we prepare for akhirat? And there can be no better time for that than this auspicious and great month of Ramadan. And Allah has blessed us with this month. He is the one who gave us this month. He is the one who gave us life here in this month. Otherwise, how many people have passed away already? He is the one who gave us health also. He is the one who gave us this time also. He is the one who gave us this tawfiq also. Everything is from Allah Ta'ala. So we should be very, very thankful to Allah Ta'ala on the one side, and the other side, to use that ni'mat for what purpose it is. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, rahmatan wasi'a, used to say that in the ayat of the Quran, first comes fadhkuruni, and after that comes washkuruli. So first, whatever ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, whether it is your plate of food, whether it is your baby, your first baby, your first grandchild that comes in your hand, you become so happy. And more than that, the spiritual ni'mats, the Quran Sharif, the month of Ramadan, Rosa, these are all great, great ni'mats. So first, remember Allah. Allah gave this to us. If Allah had not given us hidayat, ma dareena, wa ma sallayna, wa ma hadayna, we should have been nothing whatsoever. Allah gave us this month of Ramadan. Make shukr to Allah. He gave us this rozas. We must make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. He gave us Quran-e Pak. What ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. And then use this ni'mats for what they are. And make shukr then. First, remember Allah, that Allah gave us these ni'mats. Otherwise, on our own, where should we have ever known about Quran Sharif? Ever known about keeping rozas and this great month? So we make shukr, remember Allah, make shukr to Him, use the ni'mats for what they are meant, and make more shukr to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala let us realize this great month. This is a month that in this month, Allah ta'ala, the malaika who are continuously in the ibadat of Allah, in this month, Allah Ta'ala tells them, stop your ibadat. And only say Ameen on the du'as of the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah, but if we are getting the Ameen of the malaika, how much mustn't we engage in du'as also in this month? This is a month for du'as also. And the whole, this is not only that during the last part of the night, the whole night. And not only the night, the whole day. The whole month is a time for du'as also. And how many of us, what necessities don't we have? There is the time to ask Allah, and we are getting the Ameen of the Malaika. This ummah is such a blessed ummah. Maulana Qasim Nanotwi rahmatullah alayhi, very, very great alim. In his qasida, in the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Allah has blessed us with such a Nabi, that on the day of Qiyamah, by the barakat of our Nabi, the whole Ummah's sins will be transformed into reward, into sawab. What a Nabi Allah has given us, that by his intercession on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will turn our sins into rewards. So we should make shukr for being in the Ummah of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam also. So this is this great month which Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. And it is a month that a person's whole life changes. Like for example, Allah has blessed us with this deen, that a person can be a 99-year-old kafir who spent his whole life in kufr. And that kafir, which comes in the Hadith Sharif, who killed 99 people, that he was a Muslim man, he killed 99 people. And he asked, Halli min tawbatin, is there tawbah for him? The alim he asked was not an alim a rabbani, alim who sees the book, like a lawyer who goes by the law. That is, there are many ulama who just see the masalas in the kitab, and according to that they tell you the ruling. And one is an alim, a lawyer who's got connection with all the judges also. And he knows the inside, how they work also. So what he'll tell you, how to lead your case, etc., will be completely different. So an alim who's got contact with Allah and knows the inside workings of Allah also. So the first alim who only went by the book, he told him, 99 people you killed, there is no question. You're going straight to Jahannam. There is no tawbah for you. So he killed him also and made it 100. But Allah wanted his hidayat. After some time, again it came in him, I should make tawbah. So he asked a alim now, this time, who was connected with Allah and who knows the inside workings of Allah, how Allah works. So he says, no problem, you just make tawbah and Allah will forgive you. It's a little lengthy, the whole instance, but this is Allah's mercy. And that just by tawbah, a non-Muslim, he can be 99-year-old kafir, he just reads the kalima and immediately now 99 years gunas are wiped off. Just by person recites the kalima, Allah wipes out all your past sins also. 99 years of gunas were wiped off, wiped off immediately. A person who was destined for Jahannam, now immediately he's already in Jannat. A person who was mabghuz, whom Allah hated, he becomes already mahbub, the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. A person who was Jahannami becomes Jannati just by reciting the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, and a Muslim, just by making tawbah, immediately Allah forgives all our sins. And Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, and Allah's mercy, Allahu Akbar. When Islam had spread, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent one sahabi to Hazrat Wahshi. Hazrat Wahshi is the one who had killed Sayyidu Shuhada, the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And not only that he killed him, he cut his stomach apart and he took out his liver and ate his liver also. How Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hurt. But just see, Allah who is mercy, who is arhamur rahimeen, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is rahmatul lil alameen, even for such a person there is place also. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends him, give him da'wat of Islam. Let him come away from Jahannam, let him come into Jannah. Come away from the azab of the qabr and come into the garden of Jannah in the qabr. He says that, but O Nabi, you have given us such teachings by which that a person who makes kufr, who makes shirk, who commits zina, and a person who drinks liquor, etc., murders, for him is Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala, just see Allah's mercy also. Allah is arhamur rahimeen. Allah is seeing all this, what is happening. Allah reveals the ayat that, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَعَامَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَ. A person who makes tawbah, and brings iman, and he does amal saliha. What does Hazrat Wahshi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu? That time he wasn't still radiyallahu anhu. At that time he was still alayhi la'na. What does he say? that Allah says that if you make tawbah, that I can do, you bring iman and you must do righteous deeds. I don't know if I'll get tawfiq of doing righteous deeds also. Again, Allah is watching everything. Allah, and for who is this? For Hazrat Wahshi. Allah sends another ayat down. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika limen yasha. Allah does not forgive the son of shirk associating. Besides that, Allah forgives every and all sins. Ulama have written this ayat gives the greatest hope to a mu'min that Allah says He will forgive all sins. So this ayat is read to Hazrat Wahshi, conveyed to him. What does he say in reply? He says, Allah said at the end, there is a condition, لِمَنْ يَشَىٰ, for whom Allah wishes. Allah will forgive all his good. I don't know if Allah will wish for me or not. So I don't know, still I haven't got any guarantee. Allah is watching everything. Allah sends another ayat again. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, those who have done wrong to themselves, whichever way, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, do not despair, do not lose hope of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, Allah forgives all the sins. So then Wahshi, yes, yes, this ayat is for me. This is right, he accepts Islam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asks Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was this ayat makhsus, special, only for Hazrat Wahshi, or is it for us also? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is for all till the day of Qiyamah. So Allah's mercy, and in this month, Allah's mercy, there is no limit to Allah Ta'ala's mercy. The first 10 days of Allah Ta'ala's great mercy that Allah Ta'ala blesses us with. So this is that great month that Allah has blessed us with. Let us try and make the best of it. And just to summarize briefly what we have said so far after Asr, most important, our niyat. And niyat is that your intention. And intention is not just something that we make, but what is in our heart. A person, for example, he doesn't make a formal intention, I'm going to work today. But now he's on his way, he knows I'm going to work. Somebody stops him that I just want to discuss with you. It will take me about half an hour, you got time. He says, I'm on my way to work. I haven't got time now. So your intention, so our intention must be our Islam. That must be in our heart. And make the formal intention also. But not just that we make a formal intention, but still we are not, it's not in our mind. It's not in our heart that I have to make my Islam. Make that I have to make my Islam. And a person, and what is Islam? To correct our spiritual life. And easily to understand, physically, if we are ill, then we need medicine, we have to go and see a doctor, we have to take treatment, etc. Spiritually, if we are ill, we also need treatment. That also we have to understand. And if we are physically ill, to take treatment, to go to a doctor, to take medicine, to have an operation done, is not for us. If you don't take your treatment when you are physically ill, it is not haram. It isn't anything wrong you are doing. It is sunnah to take treatment. But if you are spiritually ill, even the smallest illness, this is for us to take the treatment. And physically, if you are ill and you take treatment, you might get better, you might not get better. If you get better, you're not going to live another 100 years. You're not going to live forever. You're still going to die. You had a bypass done. You had a stent put in. Doesn't mean now you're going to live for again so long. You are 50 years old, you had a bypass done, even it doesn't mean you're going to live another 50 years also. And you still have to die. And when you die, then your problems of this world come to an end. You had cancer, you had heart problem, whatever you had. But spiritual illness, if you don't take the treatment, when you die, it doesn't come to an end. Your problem starts then. And the problem is, the problem of the grave is very grave. It is very, very serious, the problem of the grave. So that is much, much more important. And if you take your spiritual treatment, you are sincere and you don't get ilaj also. Before you die, Allah will relieve you of your disease. Allah, whatever intention you make, and you are on that path and you did not reach your objective, Allah is so merciful that Allah will grant it to you before He takes your ruh from. But that is if you are on the path. You have made your niyat, I must make my islah. I must remove pride from me. I must remove jealousy from me. I must remove vanity from me. All these spiritual shirk I must remove from me. All these spiritual diseases. You made the niyat, if you get treated, if you get cured, you got jannat in this world already. That jannat will come. And the object of deen is that a person gets the life of jannat in this world. And what is that? It is more the condition of the heart. We measure it normally by material things. When the Jewish people said to me, the Jewish protocols which are famous between 1897 and 1903, round about there for about 6 years, and at the same time Allah inspired Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. He was not worried and going to find out what the protocols are. But one of them, they said, we will bluff the people of the world to get material things. And when you have material things, we'll bluff them that you have got happiness. You have got enjoyment. So today a person wants a nice car that I now, then he feels happy. I got a big house. My garden is beautiful. My furniture, my lifestyle, my dressing, all material things. And in that he feels is my respect and honor also, is my enjoyment and pleasure also. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, at almost the same time, he Hazrat said that, Samane rahat aur cheez hai, rahat aur cheez hai. The things of comfort is something else, and comfort itself is something else. We don't make this, we have been bluffed by all the propaganda, even from our schooling, from kindergarten, and from there already they are polluting our minds, and everyone thinks if we have the things of comfort. A broad example by which inshallah everyone can understand this is sleep is something else and a bed is something else. What they have left us, you get the best bed on the market, so now you're going to have the most wonderful sleep. But a person who was just sleeping on the floor, now he managed to get some money and he bought a bed. He paid half and he's owing half for it. Now that worry, that sleep he used to get, full sleep, now his full sleep is gone. He still have to pay half the money, but his full sleep is gone in that worry. So this is that you get the things of this world, then the worries that come with it. And a person who gets the contentment, al-ghina, ghina nafs, whom Allah Ta'ala gives that honor and the great wealth of the heart. That person might have nothing materially, but what great enjoyment he will have in his heart. There is a famous story of that king who was in his palace and he saw on the footpath, the pavement, a person, ordinary poor person coming, walking, and he opened up his big pagra, the big pagri, amama, and there were two rotis that were in there. He took it out. He ate the two dry rotis. And in that carton, cardboard carton, he had water. After he ate the two big naans, those thick rotis, he drank the water, his big pagra, he made a pillow, and he put his head down. Before his head reached his pillow, he was already snoring. So the king saw this. He said, I am prepared to give my whole palace for 5 minutes of sleep of this type. I've got my palace, but I don't get any sleep whatsoever. So what is that? That person who has got that inside wealth, you don't need a palace to get sleep. You don't need posturpedic mattress. You don't need all funny types of beds to get sleep. When you have got contentment with Allah, then you get sleep all the time. And like for example, we see here, the people are supposed to make zikr, but they're sleeping also. They're supposed to listen bayan, but they are sleeping also. So sleep overtake. And the other people who are in their comforts, the WHO, World Health Organization, their findings are the highest amount of suicides are in industrialized countries, first world countries. The people who have got everything that we will say, they are the ones who commit the most suicides. And in them, the highest rate is among psychiatrists, those who are supposed to solve other people's problems. And they themselves have such problems that death is the highest rate. And third world countries, you go right into the villages of Africa and Asia, you won't find this here. They haven't heard the word suicide. There is no suicide, even if they're non-Muslims. They don't commit suicide. So this is a whole blood. So this is that month to gain that inside treasure from Allah. And Allah Ta'ala is never such that a person who wants to makes his niyat and Allah will deprive him. Allah is not such. But in fact, Allah calls how many people that without them desiring in Latin America at the moment, that people are accepting Islam in huge numbers. And how are they accepting? Dreams they are seeing. Various types of dreams, and Allah is pulling them towards Islam. One beautiful article that came that in Islam the woman is oppressed very greatly. And the symbol of oppression is the parda, that she's kept like a captive. And the actual parda is a woman must stay at home. So she's like in a jail. So that person writes that a journalist will travel from New York to some rare remote place in Pakistan to go and interview a woman. That how are you feeling that you are kept as a prisoner, you are restricted so much, etc. But that person writes so rightfully, in the backyard of New York, how many women who are accepting Islam and found freedom in parda? They don't interview those women. That you will never find anywhere in any magazine, any newspaper, that their own woman, and the French woman, amount of French women that are accepting Islam, and the freedom they have found in parda. When we were in Jamaat, in about 76, there was a woman who had come from America also. And she wasn't in parda. She had accepted Islam. She came in Jamaat. In Karachi, she wore the first time a burqa. And when she looked at herself in the mirror, she wept and wept and wept. The people wondered, they might have offended her. When they asked her, she said, the first time in my life, I'm seeing myself as a woman. Up to now, I was like an animal, naked animal. First time in my life I see myself as a woman, and what joy it gives to me to see that I am a woman. So Islam is that religion. So anyway, this is what we have come. This must be our niyat, that we start and we work, and by the end of the month, itku minan nar, najatu minan nar. And when you are free from Jahannam, then where are you? You are in Jannat. And then we carry on with our lives. So that is how we should spend our lives. For that Allah has given us this great month of Ramadan. This month it is barakat when the shayateen are chained also. That we have got two enemies, nafs and shaitan. But the shaitans are chained during this month. And that is the hadith. And our full yaqeen on the hadith. There is absolutely no doubt in it. The other enemy of nafs, that is still with you. But he has been weakened greatly by rozas. And as the days go, from beginning you don't feel it, but as it wears on, the roza takes its toll on a person. So now that is, you weaken your nafs. Your two main enemies you had. The main enemy, shaitan, Allah weakened him, Allah jailed him. And your other nafs, your other enemy, nafs, by roza, you weakened him up. Now your enemy is weak, and Allah strengthened you by giving you Qur'an, tilawat of Qur'an, listening to Taraweeh, the nights of Ramadan, the days of Ramadan. Allah strengthened you so much, how can't you easily get control over your nafs? And the nafs is the main enemy, more than shaitan also. The greatest enemy is nafs. For shaitan himself, who made him go astray? No other shaitan came. His nafs made him go astray. Ana khayrun minhu, that I'm better than Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. And this is one thing that we also have to work in this month, the ego of a person. To crush that ego. And what a beautiful teaching we have been taught for our Islam, which our Shaykh has taught us, put it in our ma'amulats, and which we all should say, use this prescription in order to destroy and annihilate this ego of ours. that hal mein, presently, tamam musalmanon mein, amongst all the Muslims, then take your own name. Abdul Hamid mein sabse battar aur kamtar ho. I am the worst and the lowest amongst all Muslims. Until this does not happen, a person hasn't reached his Islam. It will take time, and at the beginning will only be words. It won't be the reality. But if a person keeps on saying it, our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair used to explain, you plant a seed, then it's not you get a tree, mango tree immediately, and you start enjoying your mangoes. How long won't you have to wait for the mango tree to grow, for mangoes to come? So this is just planting the seed, and then water it all the time. Repeat saying it, and slowly the reality will come, and the day you realize that I am the worst of all, that's the time you become the favorite of Allah. And when you become the favorite of Allah, there is no greater joy that you can get. You can have all the riches in the world. The world's people can praise you and put you up. That all means nothing. When Allah loves you, that is everything. So how much man tawada'a lillah, humbles himself for Allah, rafa'ahu Allah. Allah will raise that person. So hal mein presently, tamam musalmano mein, amongst all Muslims, then take your name Abdul Hamid, mein sabse battar aur kamtar ho, aur ma'al ke atibar se, and as far as the end of life is concerned, what? Tamam janwaro aur kafiro mein, amongst all the animals also, and amongst all the non-believers also, Abdul Hamid to sabse battar aur kamtar hai. You are the worst compared to all animals also, and all kafirs, non-Muslims also. That seems a bit difficult to understand, but once we get the explanation, we'll see that it makes full sense. That I am the worst presently amongst all the Muslims. I may be making my 5 times namaz also, roza. I may be very pious also, be a big alim also, everything. But there may be one thing in me by what Allah doesn't like. Like husband, wife, we have fights, they have fights, they come. Many times there are so many good things in the both of them. But one thing that is causing all the problem, whatever it might be, and a person, the wife or the husband, they blow that one thing out of proportion and they make it a big issue. But that how many good qualities that your wife won't see? How many good qualities she got, you won't see. But that one fault, bad thing she has got, that you highlight it and you blow it out of proportion. So there may be one thing in us which Allah doesn't like. And that one thing, like for example, a person is a smoker. Some wives just can't take it. You might have excessive sweat coming from your body. You are smelling all the time. Even you bath 2 times a day, still you are smelling. Your wife just can't take that. Or your mouth, you get a terrible smell from your mouth. And she just can't take any small thing. So there may be one thing which Allah just can't take, and he doesn't want to. And that other person might be having so many bad qualities, but there may be one quality that shines out in him. And because of that, he's so beloved. So we don't know that person who seems to be in the gutters, not making namaz, anything, but he's got one good quality which Allah likes. Allah will make him his wali on that one quality. So we can't be better than anyone we don't know, and Allah, he does as he wants to. And nobody can question Allah. And Allah is totally independent. He doesn't have to answer to anyone, he can do as he pleases. And amongst the kafirs and non-Muslims, as far as mort, nobody knows that who is going to die how. How many kafirs read kalima just before they die? And they go straight to Jannah. And who gave us guarantee that we're going to read kalima? And animals, there was no Jahannam for them. If they made zulam one on the other, they will be taken, their retribution, it will be taken and they will be turned to dust. Whereas we, if we go wrong, we'll have to go to Jahannam. So animals are better than us. And the kafirs, there are many, many who read kalima before they die. Whole life they lived on kufr, but they read kalima and they die. And nobody gave us Allah's rahmat. We look at Allah's rahmat. We got yaqeen on Allah's rahmat. But we don't know. It is Allah is Allah. So therefore, we must not think of ourselves better than anyone. And a person who gets this annihilation of the nafs, that person has got Jannat in this world already. So may Allah Ta'ala let us spend this month properly. This month is not a month just to keep hungry. Keeping hungry and keeping rozas are a world of difference. We are commanded to keep roza. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, not kutiba alaykum al-ju', that you must stay hungry. It comes clearly in the hadith that a person who thinks he is keeping roza, but he's lying, backbiting, committing other guna, Allah is not in need of his staying hungry. So he didn't keep roza, he stayed hungry. So we have to keep rozas in this month. And if we do that, Allah will definitely, Allah has prepared the whole stage. Shaitan is out of the way. Nafs is gone weak. Rozas are for you. And noor in rozas. Quran Sharif. And especially when we have come here, like in the masjid, this environment, how can't we go? We could change ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with these realities and let us make Ramadan what it is. And really, a person will look forward to Ramadan. And Eid won't be that Ramzan is finished. Eid will be that I entered my Jannat. Because when you get all the qualities, you will have entered Jannat in this world. And how much more won't you look forward to the next Ramadan, that I can make myself again. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Ameen.